For WKU Public Radio and NPR One, I'm Lamont Jack Pearlie, and this is the African American Folklorist. On today's episode, I speak with Dave Howard, executive director and founder of the Louisville Folk School, where they engage the folk music traditions of Kentuckians through education and performance. What's going on, blues people? Welcome to another edition of the African American Folklorist. And today I have a special guest from Louisville. Well, the school is in Louisville, and this is some real groovy stuff. It's called the Louisville Folk School. And we're going to get into the school, what it does, as well as, to me, I find extremely important event that they, it's a series that's been going on. It's called Exploring the African American Influence on Kentucky Music. So let's welcome my guest for the day, Dave Howard. How are you doing, sir?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on, Lamont. Appreciate you calling me.
No problem. As a folklorist, ethnographer, and I say slight ethnomusicologist, slight because that's a, that's a very specific skill set.
Yes.
Right. But the cultural expression of music is something that I do take serious and part of my work. And folk, traditional, old-time, blues, these all are almost, and I mean, there's a plethora more, but they're almost synonymous, right?
Right, yeah, totally, yeah. You know, I'm not a trained ethnomusicologist either. I got a degree in art history. But one of the things that interested me about art history is if you follow the timeline of other things that are happening politically and socially, with what was happening in art, you know, it's all lined up. You can see the way the art changes when the French Revolution happens and that sort of thing. And the same thing, you know, we see here, you know, we're just kind of, folk music is the music of the people, right? And so, you know, as the times change and culture develop, political movements, all that thing, all that stuff lines up with the art that people are making, and music is certainly included in that.
Well, okay, so now with that being said, before we go into this particular series, talk to us about the school, the inspiration of the school, and what are the classes? What does the school teach?
Yeah, so I started the school in 2015. I had been touring as a bluegrass musician. And, you know, I played a show in Brooklyn and came across a folk school there. I'd never heard of a folk school. You know, played in St. Louis. There was a folk school that we did a workshop and a concert there. In Denver, they're just all over the place. And I was fascinated. I'm like, okay, so you have groups of people coming in to learn banjo and fiddle and mandolin and all these traditional instruments together. And, you know, it's like creates a community of, around the music and gives people who otherwise may not have an easy in to learning about and how to play this music. Fascinating. I loved it. And, you know, I kind of was just wondering, why isn't there something like this in Kentucky? There's nothing like that year round. There's camps, that sort of thing. And honestly, I kind of just waited for somebody else to do it, and it never happened. And so finally I said, well, I'm going to have to put pen to paper here and figure out how to make this work. And so the school kind of started out with coming from my experiences and my perspective, you know, like what would the young Dave Howard be interested in studying at a school like this? And so, you know, we try to have beginner classes in as many folk instruments as we can. So that started out with fiddle, mandolin, banjo, guitar, ukulele, and singing and jamming. You know, we've added repertoire classes, so like a certain artist songs, and then gotten more specific, like old-time fiddle classes, bluegrass fiddle, French Canadian, Irish. We have African drumming classes and bira. And, you know, we're trying to expand beyond that initial inspiration, which was kind of, you know, seeing folk music traditions through my eyes, really. You know, we are now a not-for-profit, and we have a board, and we've made some like slight changes to our mission statement, where initially it said that we were, you know, uplifting the folk music traditions of Kentucky. Now we're engaging the folk music traditions of Kentuckians, right? And there are Kentuckians from all over the world. And so really excited about trying to include more immigrant and refugee experiences in our curriculum, and, you know, still trying to figure out how to do that. There's, like, you know, for example, there's a ton of Cuban people here, and there's a lot of really cool instruments played in those traditions. But then, you know, you get into it, it's like, okay, but yeah, the Cuban trace, like the little three-string guitar thing, that'd be cool. What a great sounding instrument. You know, like, how many people are interested in learning that? How many people have the instrument? It's not like we have like a room full of pure instruments. So there's a lot of obstacles, and we're still trying to figure that out. But we're a young organization, and hopefully the organization will be around a lot longer than I will, you know, and we can kind of grow into some of these concepts. But yeah, just really, really excited to, you know, explore all the folk music traditions represented here in Kentucky. And it's not all just, you know, traditional string band and bluegrass stuff, obviously. But that is where it started, because that is what I know.
So are you preserving it or introducing it to the community? What would you say is the main function, or at least, if not the main function, your main outcome for putting together the Louisville's Folk School?
Yeah, so we, you know, engaging the folk music traditions of Kentuckians through education and performance, right? So there's like inviting people in to learn, share what we know with people so that the traditions continue. And then also with the performances, you know, there's an outreach aspect there. You know, I do a lot of kind of like edutainment things where maybe I'll go play some bluegrass music, but I'm not just playing songs. I'm also explaining like what were the influences that started this? Like what are the ingredients that were around that brought this music to life? You know, it didn't come out of thin air, right?
Right. So, well, you know, that's a great segue, because you have a series co-presentation with the Kentucky Performing Arts, exploring the African-American influence on Kentucky music. Talk to us about that. What inspired that program?
Well, we mostly just had these educational classes and, you know, wanted to explore new programs that aren't specifically just like how to, you know, more of the humanities of it. It's like the why and the how, like how did this come about? And, you know, Bill Monroe, a Western Kentucky musician who is considered the father of bluegrass music, not far from where you are. I think he was in Ohio County. He credited black blues musician Arnold Schultz as one of his main influences and teachers. And so, you know, it kind of just makes you think, in what other ways have black musicians informed specifically like just string band and bluegrass music traditions, or, you know, other traditions in Kentucky music? You know, we know that the banjo originated in Africa and came from slave ships to the Caribbean and into the southern part of the United States. But how does bluegrass music, a genre that's so reliant on the distinctive sound of the banjo, how did it evolve by the second half of the 20th century to include so few African Americans, right? You know, I think back to the, you know, International Bluegrass Music Association has their World of Bluegrass trade show and convention every fall. In 2017, Rhiannon Giddens did the IBMA keynote speech, and she said, you know, how are we going to acknowledge that the question is not how do we get diversity into bluegrass, but how do we get diversity back into bluegrass?
Right.
And so, you know, this series is just an effort to better understand the history, the music that we teach, and of course, to enhance the diversity, hopefully in participation in bluegrass music. And so, you know, we're just trying to provide a platform for investigating and exploring these questions and other questions during this special season of programming. And so we're really lucky and happy to have Kentucky Performing Arts as a presenting partner on this. You know, I had this idea and wanted to make it happen. My experience with the school is mostly putting together classes and workshops and performances. And this is a bit different than that. And, you know, they've been just so great to work with. I'm learning so much.
What does the series entail? Is it is it performance-based? Is it panel-based? What are some of the topics outside of what you just described already?
Yeah, it's panel-based. It's a conversation series. So, you know, we weren't sure when we were putting it together, would there be some element of performance in there or not? And, you know, we're one event into the three-event series for this year. So I'm not sure, there may be some performance coming. But so far, it's been just a lot of really interesting stories and research. Our first episode was about Kentucky-born musician Henry Hart, whose grandmother was named Dolly and was on the expedition that founded Fort Boonesboro. And she gave birth to probably the first non-Indigenous child born in Kentucky. She was also a slave. So definitely a founding mother of our state. Most people have never heard of her, and heard of her son. Should be a household name, I think, right? But these stories are undertold, right? The stories of women, the stories of Black people, you know, they just get swept under the rug. This doesn't happen. It's not in history books, right? So the people that we had on that first panel were folks that really just care about these stories and have spent countless hours trying to unearth the truth, you know. So Dolly's grandson, as it turns out, Henry Hart, was a fantastic musician and very prolific songwriter, went on to have a family band. You know, he died over 100 years ago, but his family band was very popular, and he had a bunch of daughters. So can you imagine, the turn of the century, a family band that is all Black women and this man, you know, and they're playing at all of the high society, you know, white events. So kind of groundbreaking stuff, right? But nobody really knows his name. So we're just trying to like lift up some of these stories. I'm fascinated by all of them. That was the first one. It lives on our Facebook page and Kentucky Performing Arts Facebook page. And as of when we're speaking, I know that it's on Kentucky Performing Arts YouTube, and it'll be on the Louisville Folk School YouTube page soon too. But it went really well.
That was Dave Howard, Executive Director of the Louisville Folk School. Be sure to hear part two of our conversation. If you're enjoying what you've heard on this series so far, you can join the African American Folklorists for a virtual concert Friday evening at 7 Central, 8 Eastern. More information about registration is available at theAfricanAmericanFolklorists.com. For WKU Public Radio and NPR One, I'm Lamont Jack Perley.